WKRP Live with Cedric Miller has a desire to transport their listeners to a world of thought upon issues like Christian values, the appeal of Christianity, contracts with God, tenement stories, and so much more. Cedric Miller will be interviewing up-and-coming gospel artists, pastors and community leaders, and people just like you. We're going to figure out, together, what the heck is really going on in society today. It's an open forum, and call-ins are encouraged, so tune in and become a part of the discussion at the global table, where all points of view are considered.
Hi, and you're listening to WKRP Live Talk Radio, and I am your host, Steve Miller. And today we have a very special guest, He is a prominent attorney of Montgomery, Alabama, and his name is Mr. Troy King. Yes, Mr. Troy King, he's here live, and he is still protecting me.
Hey, Cedric.
Hey, how you doing, Troy?
I'm doing great, thank you.
That's good. A few minutes, we're going to talk with Troy more about what he's doing now. And I'll even let him explain to you what he's doing in his law practice in Alabama and everything else. But before that, I just want to tell the people that I'm glad to my listeners, glad that you're listening to us today, and hope that everything, your work week is going well. And also, I just pray, you know, there's been a lot of things going on within Alabama, and I just pray that we will soon have a resolution to a lot of things, meaning a lot of things going on in the governor's house right by now. And I'm just saying like this, I think we should pray for both sides. And also in our communities, a lot of shootings, killings, a lot of nonsense out. But I'm praying for that also. And now with that being said, we're going to talk here to Troy King. And Troy, why don't you let our listeners know what you've been doing of late and how you've been and your family and everything. I'll just let you take it from there. Go ahead.
Thanks, Cedric. Really nice to be with you and get to talk with you. As your listeners may or may not know, I was Attorney General of Alabama for 6 years. And after I left the Attorney General's office, went into private practice. And as Cedric has already alluded to, the catchphrase around here is that I'm still protecting you. I believe when I was Attorney General, that was one of the highest callings you could answer, was to protect, in particular, the most vulnerable, our kids and our seniors. And I was very, very proud to lead the efforts to reform Alabama's laws that protected kids from sexual predators, our seniors from elder abuse, and to notch a considerable number of legislative accomplishments and prosecutorial convictions. I was also proud that I was the first attorney general in the country who sued BP when they polluted the Gulf of Mexico, and believed that that was the work of protecting all Alabamians, not just Alabamians, but all Americans from really corporate mismanagement and terrible, terrible environmental fallout from that. After I left the attorney general's office, though, I opened my own law firm where we're still protecting people and still helping people. Helping the little guy that feels like his back's up against the wall, I compare it to the biblical story of David and Goliath. There's a lot of Davids out there that just don't realize they have a smooth stone in their pouch and a sling in their hand, and they need somebody to help them stand up to Goliath and face down the problems that they're having. They're getting pushed around. They're not getting treated fair. And I've been very, very proud that my law firm is at the forefront of doing that. Somebody asked me, Cedric, when I opened my law firm, what the biggest difference was between being in public life and private life. And I said, the only real difference is that my clients now have names. When I was attorney general, it was always the state of Alabama versus the criminal or the corporate offender or whoever we were suing. And even if it was a victim of crime, we didn't sue in their name. We sued in the state's name. And now I get to meet my clients. I get to look them in the eye, I get to know them, and I get the sense of a professional accomplishment that comes when we solve their case by case and problem by problem. So I'm I'm very, very blessed. My granddaddy used to say, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowed. The Lord has been good to us.
Well, that is such a great blessing. And because I was going to ask you, I remember one of your quotes, someone asked you, you said, I believe that the compliment someone could pay me was to vote for me when you was Attorney General. That they were saying that was one of your quotes. And by you being a Christian as well, now I was thinking, I was like, I hated that transition, how it was then back then with you being Attorney General and the things that were laid out, and I don't know, it was crazy. But you know, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, Cedric, a lady at my church stopped me after I left the Attorney General's office, and she said, "I want you to know that I've been praying that you were going to lose this election." And I said, why? And she said, because it was so hard. Every day the governor was attacking you for doing your job, for standing up and just following the law, being faithful to your oath of office. And every day the governor and all of these people were trying to destroy you and your family. And she said, I just started praying that, Lord, if he's not smart enough to get out of this on his own, would you intervene and get him out of it? And she said, I want you, she said, don't get me wrong, I'm proud that you were the Attorney General, but I just believe that God has other plans for you. And, you know, it's the promise of our faith and the hope of our faith that God doesn't promise us ill. God doesn't give us bad things. God rewards us. And, you know, those were hard times, Cedric. My faith was tested. It would have been really easy to flip over and to not be faithful to my oath. It would have been very easy to join with the governor and some powerful political forces in Alabama and do wrong. But my daddy used to tell me, you don't ever do right by doing wrong. And
that's true.
You know, so you have to stand your ground. I don't believe, frankly, that I don't believe that somebody beat me and took the Attorney General's office away from me. I believe that we surrendered it because we weren't willing to be unfaithful to the oath that I took. And I wouldn't change a bit of it. I wouldn't change any of it. It was the honorable thing to do. I tell my kids, you know, you've got to stand up and do what's right. It doesn't matter what your friends are doing. It doesn't matter what people are pressuring you to do. And I'll tell you, Cedric, doing right matters most when it costs you something. Everybody can do right when it's free.
Most definitely. You're right. You're right, Troy.
So,
I
believe it's all in God's plan. We're helping a tremendous number of people today. Not just people that I get paid to help. The Lord has blessed me with a deep, thick Rolodex. He's blessed me with a lot of relationships and people that I know. And I spend as much time helping people that I'm not going to get paid for helping. But I believe that God's favor is upon what I do because we help people. And, you know, it's probably a little bit of pay it forward, but I just believe that it's the reason God blessed me with those tools. And, you know, you can't take it with you. I guess they could put your Rolodex in the casket with you, but it won't do you any good. So you may as well call in every political favor and help everybody that you meet.
That is true. You know what, Troy, and by you have a great Bible vision of thing and everything, which you are a visionary, which you said you believe in helping people. Now, I know this for a fact, because many instances I had to contact you about different questions and everything. You were so helpful, and I thank you for that, man. And now, I'm going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, I want you to let the listeners know, as you said, the great transition about how you feel now. Would you, if you had another chance, go back in that political arena? Or would you just say, no, I would decline? But I want you to think about that before. That's a question that has been on my heart, and I was going to ask you before. But
okay.
We have the time now. But we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back to WKRP Live.
Give myself away. give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself
away. All right, and we're back with KRP Live Talk. My special guest, Man of the Hour, Mr. Troy. All right, Troy, I believe before we went on commercial break, I was asking you a question about if you had a chance again, would you step back in that political arena? Or would you just say you would just not?
Cedric, I get asked that a lot. And I'll be honest with you, I have very mixed feelings about it. You alluded to something earlier. I tell people all the time, when I was in office, I believed the greatest honor somebody could pay me was to entrust me with their vote and their faith and allow me to go out and make decisions on behalf of my state to make this a better place to grow up. I'll have to tell you sometime a story about how I came to be in politics, which explains a lot of my mindset about that. Yeah. When I left office, and I came and I opened my law firm, and I began to sit across the table from people who would come, and they would tell me these just tragic stories about how they had been done wrong, and they didn't feel like anybody was on their side. And I realized, you know, it's important to take care of our corporate legal affairs on behalf of the state, but to the people I'm meeting with, there's not a legal matter any more important than the fact that their mom has been abused in a nursing home, or their child has been severely injured, or their husband has been seriously wounded at work, and they're getting run around, they're not getting help, nobody's on their side to help them. So I find a lot of satisfaction in helping those people, and it's very similar to what I did on behalf of our whole state at one time.
Mm-hmm.
My heart is grieved, Cedric. I look at the state of politics today, and I don't see any, I don't see any camaraderie. I don't see any putting politics aside and putting the people first. I see everybody is in a state of tearing other people down instead of raising us up. And it just breaks my heart. I was very, very proud that although I was elected as a Republican, the greatest accomplishments I had as Attorney General were bipartisan. You know, it's not only Republicans who love their children, and it's not only Democrats who love their parents.
That's true.
All of us, and we ought to all put the interest of the people first. And these days, if it's not even a last, it's an afterthought. Nobody thinks about what is the right thing to do, and I don't know that I would be effective in government today because
Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that when you said you don't think you'd be effective, as I look at things, I'm looking at both ends with the Republican, and it's like there is no godliness. Everybody's just throwing dirt on each other. Everybody's just trying to get the vote. They're not listening to what the people have to say. Is it just about them now? I mean, what is really going on?
It's really sad, Cedric. When I was Attorney General, there was a terrible, terrible tragedy in North Alabama where a pregnant lady was assaulted and her unborn baby died. And there was a legislative effort. In Alabama, that unborn child didn't enjoy the protection of the law, and so there was not an ability to prosecute the offender for the murder of that baby. So at that time, there was a man named Lowell Barron, who was the president pro tem of the Senate, the most powerful man in the Senate. He was a Democrat. This happened in his district. He introduced legislation recommended by his district attorney to fix the problem. Unfortunately, his district attorney, like a lot of district attorneys in Alabama, didn't have, in my opinion, a biblical view, and I think a scientific view of unborn children. You know, their view was that children shouldn't be protected until they're viable outside the womb. Well, Cedric, I have an 18-year-old son who's not viable outside the womb. If we don't take care of him, Lord knows what he'll be doing.
Amen.
So I believe, I believe that either you believe in life or you don't. I mean, we can grow children in a test tube today. So either you believe that birth is a miracle, that conception is a miracle, and that children should be protected from the time they become a child, which is when life begins, or you don't believe. So So this woman whose baby had been killed and there couldn't be a prosecution came to Montgomery and attacked Senator Barron and said, my baby wouldn't be protected under this bill. It was terrible. And it was political and it was terrible. And I called Senator Barron and I said, Senator Barron, I have a competing version of the bill that you're sponsoring, and my bill says life begins at conception. And if you will come and help me pass my bill, I will have a press conference with you, and I will say that you got bad advice from your local district attorney, and you're now trusting the state attorney general, and we will pass that bill together, and we will protect children. We had a press conference, and said that the next day, I got a call from some very high-up, influential members of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And they said, we cannot believe you did that. We were going to use that issue to defeat Lowell Barron in his reelection campaign, and you have given him the cover to escape that trap we had set. And
wow,
I said,
so basically they were
attacked. I'm not letting children continue to go with crimes against them unanswered because of some political game that you want to play. Right is right and wrong is wrong. It's not about politics. It's about the people. And I'm afraid that that mindset has infected public service at every level. I mean, everywhere you look, nobody is coming together. The Bible says, let us reason together. Nobody is reasoning together. Nobody is trying to solve problems. People are trying to create problems to get a political advantage. And it just makes me heartsick because there's so much that needs to be done, and it's suffering on the altar of politics.
That's right. That's right. And I'm glad that you're letting the people know about what all goes on, which most people assume is positive. And these were people in your own party, right, that disagreed with you doing it.
Of course, because there was somebody in the other party that we got help. But you know what, Cedric? My job as attorney general was to work with the people I needed to work with to serve the people who hired me. And at that time, Democrats control both houses of the legislature. How are you going to accomplish anything if you're working with people if I say I'm only going to work with Republicans, Republicans didn't have the authority to do anything. So we just would be content, I guess, to do nothing, let children continue to be victims and have no right of the state to avenge them, and then we would just say, oh well, okay, well we can make a 30-second campaign commercial, and we can beat some politician. That's not what it ought to be about. That's not what public service is about.
That's right, man. That is so. I'm glad you had the gumption to stand up for what is right, And even today, as you were saying all this, you know, someone else needs to take that leadership that's in political. I'm hoping that some are, you know, to stand by what's right and not just what's for the party, but what's right for everyone, you know. And I just think that what you're saying is mind-blowing. Like, if we're not there, we don't know what's being said or what's going on in that arena. But I thank you, and I'm sure the citizens of Alabama commend you for doing such a thing like that, Troy. And
they actually fired me, Cedric.
I understand. I'm not saying others.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, nothing that's worth doing comes without a price for doing it. And we need more people to understand and be willing to pay the price of taking our government back, of praying for our government, praying for revival.
In fact,
I know Billy Graham's son Franklin is due to be in Montgomery in just a few weeks. He's going to all 50 state capitals and calling the people state by state to prayer. that we would begin to put aside the politics, and that we would put, again, God and godly values and godly governance at the center of our lives and our culture. And yep. I hope everybody intends, when he comes to your state, to go and to join him and to fall on your knees and to fall on your face and to claim the promise of God that if the people call by his name will turn from their wicked ways and ask him for forgiveness, he will forgive and he will heal our land. And America desperately needs that.
Oh, man, what do we, most definitely? And I'm going to ask you another question because, like you said, with the Republican Party and everything, what do you think about the Republican nominee, especially with Donald Trump? I got to go there. And how do you feel about Trump and his views of immigrants, which I know we have a problem with certain things with immigrants coming over here and doing a lot of things, but just the, I don't know, it's just the way he, I guess it's the way he words things and how he feels about different other entities of people, that it makes me feel like that he's supposed to be above everyone else. And it's kind of belittling. That's somewhat my opinion. But tell me, what do you feel about it?
Sadly, Cedric, I'm afraid that I think that Donald Trump is an amplification of years and years and years of people being told, you can't say that, you can't think that, you can't believe that. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you got this guy who has no filter, who says whatever comes in his mind, and I think he's tapped into an anger that I don't really believe is a racist anger or I've heard all of these words thrown around. I mean, I don't think he hates women. I just think that people find it refreshing that somebody it will say what they believe, and I don't think it would matter what he would say. The fact that he's willing to say it, but I think it is a clarion call that our country is in real trouble because people feel like they've been disenfranchised. They feel like their voices have gone away. They feel like that everything's out of control, that nobody is paying attention to what the people want. People get elected, and they say they're going to do this, and then they go to Washington or Montgomery. They have a bunch of lobbyists come in with expense accounts. The next thing you know, they're not serving the people, they're serving the lobbyists. They don't go home to their district. I mean, they're completely disconnected and out of touch, and I think people are just fed up with it.
Yes, they
are. Somebody told me the other day they thought Donald Trump would either be the best president we ever had or the worst president we ever had. I tend to think he's not going to be president at all. But I do think the fact that he's done so well and he's had as many people vote for him as have voted for him should be a cause for all of us to examine America and examine how have we gotten to the point that kind of message resonates.
Yeah, that's true. And my thing, I think, what I also, you know, as many people view things, is it's when someone goes to his rallies or other rallies, like, there have been a lot of people being attacked, mostly black, you know, and I'm like, wow. And then that's crazy.
One thing is crazy.
I know, and I didn't understand it. I'm thinking that we all just, I don't know why they went there or something, you know, one reason. But the other thing, because they're there, I don't think that people should be attacking. That's my, and don't condone it. I know one time he said, well, they shouldn't, I wouldn't condone it. That's why I kind of have an issue. Well,
in fact, Cedric, there have been African-American supporters of his who got beat up. And you know, they're saying, you know, I was trying to tell the people, I'm for Donald Trump. And they're still flailing away at me and beating me. Look, we need civility back in politics. And this just seems to be the election cycle of anger. I mean, everybody on the right and the left. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders; he's tapped into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the exact same mindset of feeling betrayed and disconnected and disenfranchised and silenced that you're seeing on the left with people that are lining up with Bernie Sanders and the right with Donald Trump. Their messages aren't the same, But the reason people are endorsing their messages, I think, are the same.
Yeah. It's like everybody's gouging at each other. This election is one of the most weirdest one I've ever seen.
No kidding.
I mean, I'm serious. I've never seen it get to this much publicity, for one. And I believe, like Donald Trump, like you said, he says anything. To me, I wonder, is he just doing it just to do it? Or is he really wanting to be president? I don't know. that's one thing. But in height, a lot of people. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of this last time when Herman Cain ran, and I think Herman Cain ran because he had a book, and he thought he could sell a bunch of books. And then the next thing he knew, he was leading in the polls, and I don't think anybody knew what to do because they didn't get in it to become president; they got in it to have a book tour. And I think to some extent, Donald Trump may be the same. Donald Trump got in it for the publicity. And all of a sudden, you know, he's in the lead, and nobody seems to be able to catch him. And you know, what do you do? You don't have a plan for that, because that's not, you know, that wasn't ever the plan.
Yeah.
And now you're in, you know, but it looks like, you know, it looks like now with the abortion comments and some of the other things that are going on, this whole thing with Ted Cruz's wife, and it looks to me like we may be on the verge of. Of seeing Donald Trump maybe get knocked out of this whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Troy, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you more about what do you think the effects of with Macon County and how things of in Victory Land. And do you think the decision is still fair or whatever? We're going to come back from this, take the short commercial break, and. We'll have you absorb it, and you can tell our listeners how you feel about it. What's that?
You got it.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away.
And we're back. WKRP Live Talk. If you've missed it, I'm talking to Mr. Troy King, prominent attorney of Montgomery, Alabama. And Troy, I believe the last thing I was saying to you before we went to commercial break was Macon County, Victory Land. Man, it's been so, one moment we think it's going to be open, one minute we don't. Luther Strange is putting many injunctions with the Alabama Supreme Court. What is the deal with keeping it festive? I mean, when one court says it's okay to reopen, then another, and then the Attorney General goes back, I mean, and tries to put an injunction to stop it. What is the real picture? What do you think? Why they don't? What's the problem with reopening Victory Land?
Well, just for folks who may not know what we're talking about, Victory Land, of course, is an electronic bingo hall right outside of Montgomery, and it's been the center of controversy now for 7 or 8 years. Governor Bob Riley, who was governor when I was attorney general, appointed a task force with a district attorney in charge of it, and determined, I believe, in violation of Alabama law, that bingo is illegal in Alabama. The governor used to say, you know, when I look at these machines, they don't look like bingo games, and if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck, so these machines must be slot machines. Yeah. And I jokingly offered one day to send the governor a glass of antifreeze and a glass of Gatorade, and invite him to take a drink, because if it looks like a duck and it tastes like and it sounds like a duck, it must be a duck. And in fact, not to send it over, but you know what we know is that Alabama law obviously allows for there to be bingo under certain circumstances in Alabama, and it's that way whether we like it or not. The governor. said at one time, well, you know, the law has to be uniform. If you can't have one thing in one county and something different in another county. But, of course, all of us know that we've got wet counties and dry counties. We do make differences from county to county as to what is legal and what's not legal.
Yeah.
I can't explain why the governor suddenly, 6 years into his term, decided that he wanted to persecute gambling and go after businesses that just a few years before he had awarded with the tourism award. But
yeah,
but that is what he decided. So the attorney general took over charge of gaming enforcement after Governor Riley left office. The new governor came in and disbanded the task force and returned those responsibilities to the attorney general. The attorney general has now notified local law enforcement that he's no longer going to be in the enforcement business, and local district attorneys and sheriffs can make determinations about what's legal within their counties.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it appears to me the Alabama Supreme Court is determined to make law. And I tried to explain this when I was attorney general. You know, this probably as much as anything is the reason I wasn't reelected, because I wouldn't go and prosecute gaming that I didn't believe was illegal. And I tried to explain. I tried to explain to the governor that, who kept telling me, "Well, you know, if we can get it in court, the court is going to agree with me." And I said, "Well, yeah. Governor, here's the problem. We call that judicial activism, and you can't be against judicial activism when you're prosecuting gambling, and then say, oh, but I'm against it when they legalize abortion, or I'm against it when they legalize or they make it illegal to say prayer in school, or they say it's illegal to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Either it's right or it's wrong. It's not right when you like it. It's the, and I believe it's wrong. That's not the role of judges. But because judges in Alabama took on that responsibility to themselves, the law's a big mess, and a lot of people have lost their jobs. The tax base in a very poor county has been destroyed. And, you know, I'm not saying that you ought to be allowed to conduct illegal business because it makes a lot of money in taxes or pays a lot of people good jobs.
Yeah,
but I am saying that you shouldn't be able to go in and destroy people's livelihood because you want to settle a political score. And if you want to change the law, don't ask a judge to do it. Ask a legislator to do it.
And that's right. They make the law. Now, that's what a lot of people, I believe, can't understand, because, I mean, and also, if the people now, let the people decide and take a vote on certain things as well, but with Macon County, it's like that, it looks like it's a stumbling block, and a lot of people wait. Because, I mean, this thing, it's been closed now, as you said, for some odd years. And a lot of people, you know, it's impoverished already in that. And it was doing things for people, which Victory Land jobs for one. And it seems like it's a very big issue now with Macon County and opening Victory Land. And I was just wondering, but the one thing, Troy, let me say this, and I'm going to let you speak to the people. One big thing I didn't understand is, why did Governor Bob Riley go to Mobile to get someone to come when you here were the Attorney General?
Well, they did it because they came and asked me to do it, and I told them I thought it was legal. And they didn't like that answer, and so they went and found somebody else that would go. And, well, I don't think it was constitutional, but the Alabama Supreme Court reversed 100 years of case law and said that it was constitutional. Oddly enough, there was a debate at the convention in 1901 that approved Alabama's constitution, and that very issue was debated. There was a former governor who was a delegate and a former attorney general who was a delegate. The former governor said, "I propose that the constitution make the attorney general an appointee of the governor, so that the governor can instruct him on what to do. The former attorney general, who was a delegate, said, look, if there's anybody in government who should be autonomous and who should be able to act without political influence, it's the attorney general. So, under Alabama's constitution, the attorney general is not an appointee of the governor's and does not have to do what the governor says and does not answer to the governor. But the Alabama Supreme Court has now said that if the governor doesn't like what the attorney general is doing, the governor can trump the attorney general and go do whatever he wants. And that's a very dangerous precedent. But, you know, it was precedent created in a very unusual set of circumstances over an issue that a lot of people believe is a religious issue. And it may be, I mean, there may be people who are opposed to gaming on religious grounds. But we should not be making public policy based on religious dislikes and likes. I mean, the law is the law, and there are ways to change it. And what they did is not one of the ways that the Constitution allows things to be changed. And I believe that law is going to have a very, very bad future. I mean, stop and think for just a second, Cedric. I don't know. How many people that are listening to us follow Alabama politics very closely, but we have a governor of Alabama today who has been involved in what appears to be a very torrid affair with a senior staff member, and we now understand that the Attorney General of Alabama is investigating whether the governor broke Alabama law by using state resources, airplanes, money, houses, cars, to facilitate his affair. So does this law that the Supreme Court put in place mean that the governor can now turn to the attorney general and say, I forbid you to investigate me? I mean, it's a law. I mean, you know, that's why you shouldn't do things to accomplish a specific purpose. You should look at the bigger picture. But now we've got this scenario where, at least arguably, the governor could order people not to investigate him. And that it's hard for people to believe that that could be the fact, but that is the fact. And so I guess we'll have more litigation and more embarrassment as all of this continues to play out.
That is so true. And I've even myself reached out to the governor's office and asked him myself to do an interview. Just talk to the people. Let the people know, which I know he did a press conference and everything. But like you were saying, now that because they did do what they did with that, whatever, and having the governor say, okay, can't, that's a lot of power for one person.
And let's be clear, Cedric, he has not said that. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
That court decision, arguably he could, and that's a crazy outcome to even think that could be. But I think it could be.
Yeah, that is true. And it's a lot of things going on politically wise and different things. And I just, like I said when I started the show, I said I'm praying for both sides of it, man. It is wild. And it's putting an eyesore on Alabama, very much so. A lot of people want the governor to resign, but he says he's not going to resign.
It's a huge distraction. You know, we've got a Medicaid department that provides medical services to people who are incredibly dependent. We've had prison riots. People take over parts of the prisons. They're understaffed. They're overcrowded. And instead of anybody focusing on how do we solve those very real problems that affect a lot of people in Alabama and their ability to access health care, to be taken care of, to be safe, nobody can focus on that because everybody's distracted by the soap opera. And it's really, really sad.
Yes, it is. Man, I don't know. But like you were saying, man, it's weird because it's like now everybody's focused. That's the big thing now. I mean, I didn't know it hit New York Times. You hear me? I'm surprised they were talking about that.
It was on the Today Show Sunday.
My goodness. Alabama is on the map again, but not for the right thing, but it's wrong.
And we just can't catch a break.
We just can't, man. Troy, we're going to go to one last commercial break, and when we be back, I want you to, if talk to the people and give them the number so they can contact your office if they have any type of car accident, whatever. You explain to the people, and we'll take it from there. We'll be back.
Sounds great.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself. And we're back with WTRP Live Talk Radio. And my very special guest. Once again, it's Mr. Troy King, special guest. And, man, it's been, Troy, I have had such a wonderful time, man. I didn't know so much things that had happened in your life that you experienced and gone through as being with Attorney General, as being attorney. But like I said, you don't know a man, you know, personal thing until they explain it to you themselves. But I thank you for having integrity of being a man and a face-to-face man to stand up for what's right.
And no matter thanks for the invitation. I've enjoyed visiting with you.
Oh, man, great. And then don't let it be the last. But I want you to tell people about how they can get in contact with you. And
sure.
Just let them know where your office and everything. Go ahead, tell them.
Well, my office is in Montgomery, and we help people. We help hurt people. Anybody that has a problem, I'd be glad to try to help them. If we specialize in car wrecks and nursing home neglect cases in particular. But anybody that has a problem and wants to talk to a lawyer, I return every phone call that comes in. So it may take a day or two because I don't have other people that take my phone calls. I don't have other people that return my phone calls. But you can reach me at area code 334-215-4440, or you can email me at troy@troykinglaw.com, and I answer all my email. Probably I'll answer it with a phone call, but I'd love to hear from your listeners, and if there's something I can do to help them, it'd be my great honor for them to trust us to give them advice and maybe even to represent them.
That sounds great. And one more question, Troy, because we have a couple of minutes left. I was just thinking, and myself and just my own self about you've accomplished a lot of things, as you're saying, as being Attorney General and also in your private practice. Is there anything else that life, lead the life the soul holds for you in doing? Yeah, you know, whether it's...
You know, Senator, we serve a God of surprises. I never would have believed that I would be Attorney General of Alabama. I'll tell you a quick story about how I got into politics. When I was a little boy, when I was 10 years old, my dad sold real estate in a little bitty town in Alabama. And I'll never forget my dad, probably the hardest conversation he ever had, got everybody around the kitchen table. And he said, there's not going to be a family vacation this year. There's just no money. And I asked my dad, I said, well, why? And he said, well, the interest rates are high. There's nobody's buying houses. And I said, well, whose fault is that? And he said, well, I guess it's the president. I said, well, how do we get a new one? And he said, well, I guess we go and campaign for somebody else. And I said, well, who else is there? Yeah. And he said, well, there's this guy that used to be governor of California who's running for president. So I wrote Montgomery, and they sent me a box of bumper stickers and brochures for Ronald Reagan. And I went door to door. All over Alabama at that time was just as conservative, as Democrat a part of Alabama as there was. And I would knock on the door, and they would answer the door, and I would hold up a brochure and say, would you please vote for for Ronald Reagan so I can go on vacation next year? And I decided right then, and everybody was so nice. I'm sure they kind of mussed my hair and turned to their husbands and wives and said, that little King boy is so cute, he thinks he's a Republican. But what I decided in that adventure was that if there are people making decisions in some city far away, they're going to affect the lives of little 10-year-old boys. I wanted to be one of them. And that started me on a journey that led me into politics. And then politics has led me to have a very different perspective in the way that I handle car wreck cases and nursing home cases and all of the things that come my way. So I don't know what lies ahead, but I know God is good and faithful. And I believe that we are seeking his favor, and I believe he will give it to us because we're faithful. And the people who call us, we're going to treat them like family. We're going to take good care of them. We're going to fight for them like they are family. So I don't know what lies ahead, Cedric, but I know that it's good because I know the God who wrote the plan.
That's right. That is so awesome and so true because, and I was thinking today to myself, you know, God is the author and the finisher of our faith. His plans are for good in our lives, not evil. And I'm just thankful for him, like you were saying, just to let him do the leading and guiding, and we can't go wrong. But in life, and sometimes we might deter on that wrong path. He's always able to knock us back into that right path. And that's one thing I love about you and talking with you, man, positivity and how you're just, you know, you're just it seems like a go-getter. And you have so much enthusiasm about working with God, the gift God has given you about helping people. And that's a heavenly gift, man, and that's a blessing. And I pray that God continues to bless your law practice. And who knows? You might be running again for some kind of political office. I feel in my spirit.
You never know.
Hey,
you never know.
You got my vote, and hopefully my listeners, too. Their vote is
mine. Well, I hope to hear from them. Whether they have a legal problem or not, I'd love to just hear from them.
Hey, man, that is so great. And again, Troy, thank you so much for taking our time and your busy schedule to join us here on WKRP Live Talk Radio. And please don't be
ashamed.
I hope to bring you back again, man. We're talking.
You let me know when. Thank you, my friend. I look forward to being with you again.
Okay. This is WKRP Live. We've had a great interview with Mr. Troy King. If you need him, he gave you the number to call, his email, whatever you do.